which remain that are ready to die. For I, Jesus Christ, God, all-knowing, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Underline the word works, and there are five things I want to give you. Number one, Sardis was a formalistic church. Sardis was a formalistic church. A church given over to formal or ritualistic worship. Number two, it had the form of godliness without the power. It had the form of godliness. It looked good, but without the power of God. Number three, the church in Sardis died because the people did not let the Holy Spirit control their assembly. I laughed a little bit at home and smiled also, because I wonder how many Baptists pray during the week, especially on Sunday morning, and say, Holy Spirit, please control our worship service. It would probably make them a little shaky, probably make them a little nervous. But the church in Sardis died because the people did not let the Holy Spirit control their assembly. This is not my assembly. It is not your assembly. It is the assembly of the living God. And the Holy Spirit, as far as I can read, is in charge of this worship service this morning and every time we come together. Number four, obedience to the Word of God was dying. Obedience to the Word of God was dying. And number five, is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God active in your life? Is it active in this church? I'll let you answer that one. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I, Jesus Christ, the one who has founded the church, the one who on Calvary over 2,000 years ago went to the cross and paid your sin debt in full. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Look at the word found. The word found means to find or to discover. Well, here's the question. Is Jesus deeply involved with every church and each individual person? How would you answer that? The answer is absolutely yes. So Jesus Christ conducts an intense investigation in the life of every Christian. Is that true or false? That is true. What Jesus Christ says to this church was the result of Jesus Christ intensely observing and carefully analyzing them. I have no problem with that because, again, I'll say Jesus Christ is God. Always has been, always will be. So, therefore, He is all-knowing. Well, look at those two words, your works. Number one, the word works refers to deeds or actions or activities. Were the believers of Sardis themselves perfect before God? Now, be careful. The answer is yes. Why? Because they had been washed in the blood and declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made Christ. Who is He here? God the Father. He, God, made Christ, who was appointed as Savior when? In eternity past. So Jesus Christ is Savior of all mankind. In other words, if you wish to be saved, if you wish to enter heaven and have eternal life, you must receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Again, that was established in eternity past, and therefore it is non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. He made Christ who knew no sin to judicially be sin on our behalf, and I praise Him for that. So that in Him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to Him and placed in a right relationship with Him by His gracious, loving kindness. I'm going to read something you don't have here in my notebook. We have the message, true or false. We have the message. The message is in the Bible. The message is the Word of the living God. We have the keys of the kingdom. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the marching orders of Jesus Christ. So what will we do? Question. Do we fully realize God's complete purpose in salvation? I wrote no. I really don't. I don't know everything there is to know about the salvation of God, but we do know it is a call to service, a call to self-denial. It is a call to holiness, and holiness is defined as a call to sacred use. You're a child of God, of the Holy One. So He has saved you, set you apart for sacred use. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in Him, Jesus Christ, we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to Him and placed in a right relationship with Him by His gracious, loving kindness. By His glorious grace. I want you to underline that phrase. By His is a reference to God. By God's glorious grace. And what is grace? Well, we define grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God doing for you what you and I could never do for ourselves. Now, I'm going to ask you something. If your good works outweigh your bad works, will you enter heaven? That was an issue in Sardis. All people will eventually get to heaven. Is that true or false? Thank you so much. By His glorious grace, God offers human beings the deal of a lifetime. As a result of our sin, I've had people say, Terry, I have not sinned. Well, that's a lie straight out of hell. I want you to know that you have sinned, and you're born with an old sin nature, because the old sin nature comes through the seed of man. So every human being, like it or not, know it or not, is a sinner in the eyes of God. And man cannot change that himself. So as a result of our sin, every human being owes a debt to God that he or she cannot repay. Our sin demands God's eternal judgment. Yet because of God's great love that He had for us, Ephesians 2:4, God acted on our behalf. I want you to underline that word, God acted on our behalf. That means salvation came at God's initiative. In other words, I cannot decide on my own any time to be saved. God has to take the initiative to come to me, to come to you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of our unbelief in Jesus Christ and convicts us to turn it into belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our precious Lord, if we're going to be saved. So God acted on our behalf. God took the initiative. He did what I could not do. As Paul says, the one who did not know sin became sin for us. Now somebody says, Terry, wait a minute here. Wasn't Joseph the father of Jesus? Not hardly. You see, Jesus did not have a human father, therefore he did not have an old sin nature. Was he tempted to sin? Absolutely. Who tempted him? The master himself of sin. and temptation, which was Satan himself. As Paul says, the one who did not know sin became sin for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. The sinless Son of God became our substitute on the cross, but that's only half the story. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I thought I knew the whole story of salvation. I thought Jesus dying on the cross, paying our sin debt in full, I thought that was the whole story. But you know, in reality, that just saved me of my sins and gave me eternal, everlasting life. But if that's only half the story, what's the other half? John 14:6. John 14:6, most of you know it well, right? What does it say? I am the way, and the way is not a mouth, the way is a person. Amen. Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. Amen. So your salvation is twofold. Jesus paid your sin debt in full. But something else had to happen that would give me access into the Father's presence. Is that correct? Let's read. That's only half the story according to John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus said, I died on the cross. I paid your sin debt in full. You received eternal, everlasting life, and the Holy Spirit stepped in you. But again, that's only half the story. Although that addresses our sins, we still have a lack of righteousness to commend us to God. So what's the twofold meaning of our salvation? Number one, Jesus Christ paying our sin debt in full. Secondly, Jesus Christ giving us something that would give us access into the presence of the Holy Father. Although that addresses our sins, we still have a lack of righteousness to commend us to God. So, in exchange for our sins, Jesus offers to give us His perfect righteousness. Was the forgiveness of sin alone enough to put you in the presence of God? Evidently not. So to be put into the presence of God with forgiveness of sin, you needed the perfect righteousness of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when we place our faith in Him. Underline that word Him and write this note, if you will. Jesus Christ is the universal point of access to the Father. So being forgiven of sin and sin alone won't put me in the presence of the Father. I cannot stand in the presence unless I have that righteousness. And I was lacking righteousness. I had forgiveness of sin. Thank God for that. But I was lacking righteousness until Jesus Christ credited to my account His perfect righteousness. He credits our spiritual bank accounts with His own perfection. Here's something else, Jeff. You're like me, both of you. You love to question stuff, right? All right, here we go. Question. What is the righteousness of Jesus Christ? His perfection. What was credited to your account as a child of God? It was the perfection of Jesus Christ. Because God is not going to look at anything else less. Amen. Right? Amen. Thank you. Page 2. When you are saved, when you believe in Jesus as your substitutionary atonement, your sin is imputed or credited to Christ, and His righteousness, His perfection, is imputed to you. That'll shut your mouth. You think for a moment, can God look at anything less than the perfection of His Son in fulfilling everything He came to fulfill? Their works were not perfect. The word perfect here means not complete, not fulfilled, not matured. The church of Sardis had not completed the assignment God gave them. I wonder how many people in church would say, Terry, I know the assignment God has given me. Or did you just get up and come to church? Have we prayed this week? Dear Heavenly Father, make me aware of the assignment that You're giving me to act out for Your glory and for the witness of my Lord Jesus Christ. Point one. It is not enough to start in the race. You have to finish it. God wants you to start well, and He wants you to finish well. This church of Sardis was floundering and failing spiritually, and Jesus was grieved that they had not completed their God-given assignment. Well, I thought you could just get together, the committee on committees, and you could decide what you wanted to do. And let me tell you how backwards we get. We come in here deciding what we want to do and then pray later and say, God bless what we just decided to do. Well, that's bad sack. The first thing we need to do is pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I am asking the Holy Spirit, what is our assignment today? What is our assignment this month? What in the world is our assignment where You have placed us here in Hainesville, Texas? And here's how I followed up with this. God, forgive me for planning anything. For I am out of line if I plan anything without consulting You first. And I'm still out of line if I raise up and say, okay, I just prayed and here's what I think we ought to do. I think it's more than one time that you pray. I think you need to pray and pray and pray and pray until you are so saturated with prayer. Let me tell you what happens. Here's what happens with me. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray about something, and all of a sudden you can't pray anymore about it. And the first time that happened to me, I thought, what in the world is going on? What's wrong with me? God said, nothing. You've been praying for a while now, and I have answered your prayer. That's why you feel no need to pray about it anymore. Thank you, Lord. Have you maintained your spiritual fire? Or did you begin your spiritual life in a blaze but have since lost your zeal and passion somewhere along the way? Have you reached the maturity that Jesus expected of you? Is this church living up to the vision and completing the assignment God gave it? Remember who you used to be in comparison to who you presently are. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, through skillful and godly wisdom. What is wisdom? It is taking the Word of God and making application of it. It is taking the Word of God and knowing how to apply it to your Christian life. So you will grow in Christ's likeness and God is going to be glorified and there's going to be an impact. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge, its rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. If you want to be spiritually strong, you have to use common sense and be very diligently. You say, Terry, I can't believe you said that. Common sense. I'm talking about common sense based on the Word of God. And be very diligent. If your spiritual house is going to be filled with precious treasures, you have to give attention to your spiritual life. You can't ignore God and be spiritually successful. Application. Stop and think. What was the very last assignment God gave you? Did you complete it? How did it turn out? What has delayed or distracted you from being obedient? What in your life right now needs to be strengthened? Where are you weak? It's okay to say, I'm weak, for Jesus is strong. Do you understand that? I'm weak. I'm glad you are, Terry. Yeah. You know why? Because Jesus will come in His strength and do what needs to be done in my life when I say, please, Jesus, may it be directed by the Holy Spirit. So what in your life right now needs to be strengthened? I'll let you take care of that one. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit for a practical plan of action to strengthen these things. Amen. Bow your head. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray for Fred Scott. He's having a very difficult time. I pray for the medical staff. And pray that you will give them wisdom to do what is necessary, to do what needs to be done to heal this man in the lung area. I know you can do it. If there's a mountain in the way, move that obstacle, please. Give him his health back, I pray. Give him strength where he's weak. Bring healing, I pray, that he'll have that testimony in the hospital and he can say to the nurses and doctors as they take a deep breath and say, I don't understand what has taken place. And he says with a smile, let me tell you, I know. For every scene of life has eternal significance. There's no wasted minutes or moments up there. It seems like it. But God is moving. And I pray in this church, now that we know about the Holy Spirit more, that we will pray more for His direction and His empowerment for our families, our home life, where we work, where we worship. Every day, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, in your authority. And remember to pray in the authority of Jesus. You need to be under that authority. That God's will be done. And believe it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a plan to strengthen you in your areas of weakness. That you'll come back to this place and say, I've got a testimony I've got to tell. What Jesus is doing for me. We ask this all to the glory of Almighty God. Amen and amen. Let's stand.